And we are now recording. Thanks everybody for joining us today. My name is Nettie Lagasse. I'm the Associate Executive Director at NYSO and the host of our monthly open teleconferences. These are really pretty, hopefully a laid back way to get information about NYSO work. And today we are going to be talking about MECA, the Manuscript Exchange Common Approach. Before I introduce our guests, I just want to sort of describe the lay of the land here on the call. So we are recording the call, so we do hope to have a conversation, and if you speak, which we hope you will be recorded, but there is going to be a period at the end of the call where I will stop the recording. So if you have a question or anything that you don't want to have recorded, there will be an opportunity for you to speak then. So that's coming. Our format is we have a little talk and then there's a period for questions, but I think, you know, it's informal enough so that if you have a question, you can just speak up and ask it at any time. That's no problem. We're in, you know, the land of remote things, and there's always a lot of background noise. So if you're in a place where it's noisy or there's different things going on, please mute your line. If you have a button on your phone, you can use that. And if you don't have a button on your phone, you can press *6, and that will mute your line, and then you'd press *6 again to unmute. So really, we're not trying to shut you up, but it's just trying to maintain the background noise, which we all manage ourselves. So I guess that's basically it for the ground rules. I'm recording the call. We'll be posting the recording on the NYSO website later. And so without further ado, I'd like to introduce our guests for today. We have Tony Alves, who is a co-chair of the MECA Standing Committee at NYSO, and his fellow co-chair, Stephen Laverick, who is also with us today. So Tony and Stephen, maybe say one or two words about yourselves.
Sure. So my name is Tony Alves. I am currently working as just a freelance consultant in for Scholarly Publishing. And I was for 20 years, I was at Aries Systems working on the editorial manager and production manager's workflow systems.
I'm great. Stephen. I'm also a consultant. I've been for the past four years now. Previous to that, I've worn a few different hats, mainly around the kind of XML workflow efficiency kind of areas. So I'm basically trying to get XML to do all of the work for us.
So you're both well-rounded and you balance each other out pretty well, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 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 Good. I think that Tony asked me to kind of be co-chair of MECA with him. I think because I had a very well-rounded kind of experience of the kind of problems that we were trying to solve. I think that's probably fair to say, isn't it, Tony?
Oh yeah, yeah. And and your involvement with some of the other initiatives as well, like JETS 4R and your involvement at JETSCon, those are also more important and useful.
Yeah.
Great. Good. So I guess we'll start with a pretty easy question. What is MECA and what's the problem it's trying to solve?
Sure. So I'll take that. You know, MECA, it's really the most straightforward description of MECA is it's a recommendation that is a documented methodology. It describes how to create a package of computer files and how to transfer the contents of that package in an automated machine-readable way. The magic of MECA is that it lays out an easy-to-follow map or recipe to accomplish that. The Mecha specification fully describes how a software system should structure files, assemble those files, and then transmit those files, as well as what a receiving system should expect in such a transfer. So there are really two specific workflows that precipitated the formation of Mecha. Both focus on reducing the effort of authors helping review or easing frustration by reviewers. That really is what started the conversation a few years ago. Cascading workflows, that's where articles are submitted to a journal that they get transferred to another journal within a publisher's community of journals. That's a big part of the of what precipitated Mecha, helping authors and in some cases reviewers who had helping authors get that those articles cascaded, and then potentially helping reviewers by providing those reviews to the secondary journal if everybody agrees that that is what's desired.
So that people don't have to repeat their work to submit something or review something.
Exactly.
Even though it's in a different system or a different interface.
Exactly. Yeah. And the review use case is probably pretty rare at this point because there is much, but certainly helping authors, removing the barrier so that it makes it easy for authors to move their manuscripts around. You know, different journals within the same publishing house might use different submission systems. So it's actually quite common, especially when journals move from one publisher to another.
Right.
They often seek to keep their current system.
That's a good point. Sorry.
Yes, I think that in terms of the problem that it's trying to solve, I think that from my experience, in a previous life, I used to work for a publishing services company, and you know, we were involved in composition and conversion and all that kind of stuff. So it meant that we were working with an awful lot of different publishers, who had an awful lot of different requirements for who their content wanted sending to and how they were going to send it to us and all this kind of stuff. And you know, we would have different metadata describing the what was in each package that we were receiving, and every time that we needed to set up a new customer, essentially we would have to cater for all of these differences. And it got to the ridiculous point where with one of the publishers that we dealt with, they had four journals. And all of those four journals followed exactly the same style. But for one of the journals, the way that everything was sent was just completely different to the other three journals, because that had been set up at the publisher at a different time. So somebody else had done what they thought was best in terms of setting all of that workflow. But it was completely different to what was being done with the others. There just wasn't any standardization there at all, and obviously that just did not make for an efficient way to be able to work.
That's just the way, but that's the way life. Like, there's just things decided at different times. So either
and it would have been. This would have been, 15 years ago, something like that. And at that point, I would have absolutely killed for something like Mecha to have been available to kind of standardize the way that the files were coming in and being sent out, because the amount of time that we wasted, it was inefficient to set up, it was inefficient to run.
You were reinventing the wheel. Everything you did, probably.
Yeah.
It sounds
like. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. and there was much more scope in there for, as well for error, as well, because essentially you've got the same.
You didn't know what you were doing.
yeah. You've got the same information for all these things, but it's all required, you know, to be supplied in a different way. It was absolutely crazy.
So I guess you could say that even, you know, we're moving ahead with a where everybody's modernizing their tools and upgrading and looking ahead, but there will always be an inconsistency in different approaches and different tools and different people. Mm-hmm. So having something like Mika will be a nice thing to smooth the process no matter what. Is that right? Or...
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to put it.
Yeah, good. So Tony, you described the Mecca use cases and the beneficiaries. But I know that Mecca has these principles or general principles that are part of the philosophy of the solution. Can you talk about that?
One of the things that we did when we first sat down to meet the original group, kind of pre-NISO, we set forth several principles to help guide the whole conversation. And the first principle was that we were going to let journals and authors set the rules on what would be transferred. So the Mecca team defined what kind of data and files could be transferred. But only the minimal data would be actually needed to start a submission record. The idea being that the Mecca protocol, the Mecca protocol tells you this is the data that can be sent, but it's really up to the individual journals to decide what data they feel comfortable sending,
mm-hmm.
and the receiving journal, what data would they be are they able to actually ingest into their system? The second principle was to define basically a minimal viable product in order to get the project off the ground quickly,
yep.
and ensure it could be expanded for future use. A third principle was to design a protocol based on best practices and industry standards, so that mm-hmm. there'd be a lower barrier to use Mecca, so looking at things like JATs for XML and FTP as a transfer protocol, because those were really basic, simple. Well, not that JATs is basic and simple, right?
But it's pretty ubiquitous.
It's well understood, and
yeah.
a lot of people have incorporated it. The fourth principle was that Mecca was going to be a technical recommendation or specification, but it's not code. It's not software.
Okay. Yep.
We're not managing a central hub or a service like Crossref or ORCID does. It wouldn't be used to trace the path of a manuscript through the scholarly infrastructure. It would, though there is an ID that allows you to see if that manuscript happens to have been transferred to you before, so that you're not dealing with multiple submissions. It's not going to trace and report on a path of a manuscript. So those were the main principles that guided the conversation.
I think that sounds pretty helpful in terms of scoping or the kind of solution that you came up with, probably very helpful. It's a nice idea to decide those things at the beginning, I think. So Mecca's out now, Mecca's available, and there's different areas of function. Can you describe at a high level, not too low level, this is just a open teleconference, the different areas of function in Mecca? I think, Stephen, you were going to take that one?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So we basically identified like six key areas that essentially would all go together to be able to make like the entire recommendation. And the first area that we'd kind of identified was around vocabulary, basically making sure that everybody was speaking the same language. We were dealing with with people who were based around the world, you know, working across various different aspects of the industry and things like that. So it was very important that we were using standard vocabulary, and that everybody kind of understood what everybody was talking about. One of the other areas that we'd identified was the packaging. So how would the files all be packaged up? I mean, that's a relatively simple one. As Tony's mentioned, we were very, very keen on making sure that there were very low barriers to entry for being able to use Mecca. So the easiest way to be able to package all of these things together is in a zip file. You know, so that was relatively simple, and everybody can zip and unzip files and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that was a relatively easy one. We also then figured that we needed to have a manifest in there, so that we had a record of exactly what it was that was being sent. So we put together that manifest and you know, details what should be included in that and how it should be included as well. We figured that we needed to have information in there about the transfer of the package, so who it is that's sending it and who is receiving the package, as well actually having metadata about the article itself. Now, again, as Tony's mentioned, we kind of kept that. We wanted to keep that to the bare minimum, so that, you know, people weren't having to send a load of information that wasn't necessarily going to be relevant to the tasks that they were wanting to actually perform. So I think that the minimum data that we asked people to include was an article title and a corresponding author. But then we were using JATS for this particular piece of metadata. So essentially anything that is or that can be recorded within a JATS file can be included within that metadata. So it can also be very, very expansive as well as being very simple. You know, that again, that whole idea that we wanted to be able to allow people to be able to decide what information it was that they were going to transfer, and we were simply giving them a way to be able to kind of facilitate that, I think. We also figured that we needed to be able to give each package an identity, and we had quite a bit of back and forth around this, because obviously there's permanent identifiers, things like DOIs and stuff like that are used throughout the industry, but different stakeholders have different ways that they use DOIs, different points at which they'll assign a DOI and things like that. So we figured that the easiest way to be able to handle this was to be able to assign a UUID. You know, again, getting back to that idea of kind of having very base way of being able to deal with all of this kind of stuff. It's really, really simple to be able to generate a UUID. I think, you know, 16 digits means that it's, you know, pretty sure that you're not going to be replicating anything or anything like that. So yeah, we decided that was going to be the way to handle the identity. And then finally, how were these packages going to be transmitted? And again, we kind of harked back to that idea of the lowest common denominator, and we figured that secure FTP was going to be the way to do that. So those were really kind of the areas that we concentrated on, the decisions that we made for each of those areas that essentially all went together to be able to create the Mecca recommendations.
Did we lose?
Sorry, I was on mute. Sorry, I was muted, but here I am. I beg your pardon. Thank you for that. I was responding. I was saying that you didn't hear me, but the observing that the NISO, the Mecca recommend, you know, the draft recommend, sorry, the Mecca draft came from the original group that Tony mentioned. But I think the working, just from my observation, the working group did a really good job looking at all the different areas pretty closely and making things as practical as possible. So I hope that's...
Yeah, it was an interesting extension to the to what we were looking at when we kind of came under the NISO umbrella.
Yeah.
I think that the original group had they'd identified the fact that the original use cases, the original scope, were whilst very, very useful, there were so many other use cases out there, and I think that it was identified relatively early on that the limited scope that the group then was giving themselves, essentially Mecca was going to be able to do an awful lot more than that.
Yeah.
So when we kind of came under the NISO umbrella, that was the point at which I came on board. We brought in an awful lot of other stakeholders from various different areas, having, you know, various different use cases and things like that, and really tried to expand upon that initial work that had been carried out.
Yeah, that's good. The working group did that, and then we circulated and published it as a NISO recommended practice. So like most NISO works, when we publish something, then we create or we continue or revolve a group to support that. So now there is what we call a Mecca Standing Committee, and they've taken over the management and the general processes for Mecca. Can you describe what exactly the Standing Committee is doing now, and what there's some subgroups, and what are they exploring?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we picked things up again a few months ago. I think that the original set of recommendations were published back in June, and then we picked things up again probably in February or so, something like that. At that point we'd identified that there were a few areas from when we'd been doing the draft recommendations that we'd decided to omit, because we were very keen to kind of get something out there. Again, this point that I keep harking back to of having something that's that was really kind of a minimum viable product, you know, having that low barriers to entry. And because of that, there were some areas that we decided weren't going to be part of the original set of recommendations. So we're revisiting a lot of those now. I think that one of the key areas that we're looking at the moment is around JSON and API. So really looking at the transmission side of things to be able to expand that. We have a few people in that subgroup for whom the original set of recommendations are simply not workable, because basically they don't have secure FTP in their workflows. Everything that they do is through API calls. So we need to be able to expand the Mecca recommendations so that they can take advantage of the work that we've done. As well, I think that one of the areas that we're really working on is with in outreach, because there's an awful lot of people out there who would really be able to benefit from the work that we've done, from the work that we are doing, who are simply just not aware of the fact that there's these recommendations out there. So we're putting a lot of effort into that, trying to get the word out there, so that we can try and bring in more use cases, have more people using Mecca, and as well, you know, that'll then kind of self-perpetuate as the outreach kind of grows. Then it'll bring in more use cases, which means that
drive more development.
We may well have to you know, kind of cater for them and things like that. There's the peer review element that I think that Tony might want to talk about a little bit later. We had really, really hoped that we were going to be able to to be able to incorporate some of the work that's been done by other groups. Tony mentioned Jats for Reuse earlier on. We'd really wanted to work with them around around peer review recommendations, but it just wasn't going to be possible with the timelines that the two different groups were working on. But now I think that Jats for R have now published their peer review recommendations. So we're going to be looking at how we can pull those in as well. Again, I think Tony can describe a lot better than I can what that would involve. But then we've also got additional use cases that we're looking at. So being able to handle batches of articles. You know, at the moment, Mecca only deals with a single article being transferred at any one time. So we're going to be looking at how we can expand on that for multiple articles. Another one of the areas that we didn't delve into as much as we'd hoped in the original set of recommendations was around online collaborative authoring systems. So we've brought in John Hammersley from Overleaf, who's going to be able to help us on that score. That's also an area that I've got a bit of background in as well. So, you know, we'll hopefully be able to expand on that, to be able to meet the very specific needs of that particular use case. I think that's probably everything.
Cool.
Tony, can you think of anything else that we're doing?
Did you mention additional languages? You know, we are going to be looking at that.
I didn't, no.
Something that has been brought up a couple of times. So that's.
So you can only, right now, you can only use Mecca in English? Or one language?
Well, the content, I guess, can be in any language, but there are sometimes special requirements, especially on the in the metadata side, for handling.
Yeah.
Other languages. So it doesn't, the on a technical level, I mean, there are not necessarily technical reasons why you can't have other languages except for, and certainly not in the article itself, but
okay.
But it might be, you know, it has more to do with having accurate metadata being transferred or
yep.
that sort of thing.
Oh, good, good. So I guess, Tony, can you say a little bit about the peer review and the Jats for R, or how do these things fit all together with Mecca?
Sure. One of the aspects of Mecca that Stephen had covered was the reviewer XML file. When we first were working with the concept of Mecca, we looked at, you know, we wanted to follow the JATS format but the problem that we found was that the article XML doesn't really accommodate peer review information, and so we had to develop a new XML file based it on JATS, that was sort of something that we invented, but based on a standard that exists.
Right.
One of the things that I think we might not have mentioned is that preprint servers is a major use case. Being able to move manuscripts from preprint servers to journals, to journal systems. So when an author wants to get their article published, they move it from a preprint server like BioArchive or MedArchive or SSRN, and they push it to a journal for peer review. Well, you know, there in those cases, we saw that there was peer review information in the preprint server that might need to get pushed along to the journal. And also, we've increasingly heard from publishers and journal editors that they actually want the review information moved from the, you know, journal A to journal B when the paper gets transferred. So there's a big need for a real solid understanding of the peer review that took place either at the preprint level or at the article review level. And so we have been, we have people who have participated in JATS for reuse on the MECA Standing Committee. And so the peer review subgroup is looking at that taxonomy and the rules around what's been established for JATS for reuse around the peer review taxonomy. There's also the STM peer review yep. taxonomy project. We're considering that. There's another project called Doc Maps that DOCMAPS that also looks at identifying workflow occurrences and being able to build that those workflow occurrences into the machine readable information about an article. And so and that includes quite a bit of peer review information. And then there's Metadata 2020, which also is all about metadata, and a lot of that is peer review metadata. So we're actually taking, we're looking at all of these different initiatives, and we're putting together a document, a spreadsheet that will be doing some comparisons so that we can understand the scope of all of the different initiatives, the taxonomy and ontologies that are being used, so that we can have the best possible recommendation for the peer review XML, so that we can really do a good job describing and providing peer review information as part of the MECA package.
Excellent. Good. Anything else you want to say about MECA before we see if anyone from the audience would like to ask any questions?
I don't have anything offhand.
All right.
No, I think we've covered quite a lot there.
Okay, so it's now is the time when we open the floor to any questions from the audience. You don't have to have a question, but you're welcome to ask if you do. All right. So I'm going to stop the recording, but we will remain on the line, so don't leave just yet.